Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who'd formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As I said earlier, we reached the last in our present teaching series, Blessed to be a Blessing, this morning. And that is what we are. Through the promise given to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him, and by the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus, we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, how are we going to be that blessing? This was, of course, the theme that we took on our church weekend last October that many of us here were on. And there, as here, we used the word BLESS as an acronym. So B, we looked at a few weeks ago, stands for Begin with Prayer. L stands for Listen to Bless. E stands for Eat to Bless, a particular favourite of mine, and probably of all of us, but basically hospitality, that kind of thing. And S stands for Serve to Bless, but you can't spell the word bless with only one S, can you? So today's theme is Stories to Bless. And I suspect this might be the one that fills most of us with some trepidation. You know, we can all begin with prayer. We may not feel that we're good at it, but we can at least do it. We can listen to others, because we are inherently nosy anyway, aren't we? But we can listen and we can maybe pick up what their needs are and work out how we might bless. We can do that in our different ways. We can eat and drink with others to bless, just sharing time with them. And these things, of course, so often break down barriers and help establish friendship, as indeed we're finding on our little alpha course that's been going a few weeks now. And we can serve others and meet needs to bless. But when it comes to telling someone that we're a Christian, or to going beyond that and telling them why we're a Christian, why we follow Jesus, we break out in a cold sweat and clam up. Or is that just me? And hey, I'm the minister. At the same time, we know that Jesus tells his disciples to go into the world and make disciples, and that he tells us that we will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So how are we going to be people that bless others with our stories? I love this, the beginning of Psalm 107, where in verses 1 to 3 it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands east and west, from north and south." I want to give you this morning four C's that I believe will help you to tell your story if you take them to heart. I have to be honest, I stand here not entirely sure what I'm going to say, but I have got 4 points to go through because I wasn't sure what Lynn was going to say and what Ros was going to say. And what you've brought in many ways are sermons in themselves. They speak to us of how we can share our stories. But the first C that I want to bring to us is conviction. And specifically, conviction of sin. John 16, verses 8 and 9 says of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, call him what we will, that when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. And I think that it is true that without an awareness of our sin, without knowing that it is there in each one of us, we can't be forgiven it. We can't know that we're forgiven, certainly, if we have no awareness of sin. I mean, it's interesting in the story that we had, and we only had the first part of what's quite a long story, really, of the man born blind, that the disciples asked the question of Jesus, you know, who sinned that this man be born blind, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. It was neither. This was so that the glory of God would be revealed. So he was not born blind because of his sin or because of that of his parents, but he is still a sinner in need of a saviour. And that's a different question, isn't it? That's something that we can all regard ourselves as sinners who are in need of a saviour. Now, this hasn't quite entered into our healing practices at Well Street Church. I was contemplating perhaps bringing some mud in and spitting into it and making a paste and offering it to those of you who may have various ailments. Would you like that? Didn't think so. But this was in fact a fairly sort of common healing practice of the day. It was believed that these things together would have healing powers. And so when Jesus made a healing paste out of saliva and mud and put it on the man's eyes, he wasn't necessarily doing anything, particularly unusual. But of course he does that, doesn't he? And then he sends the man off to wash off that mud, that paste at the pool of Siloam. I find it interesting here that Jesus brings healing to the man because the man goes to the pool, doesn't he? And he washes it off and he finds as he washes it off that he can see, as we find out later in the story. But Jesus brings healing to him and doesn't make it dependent upon him confessing his sin, on getting that out of the way. Jesus is willing to bring healing anyway. Perhaps the lesson to us there is that we should be willing to seek to bless others anyway and not make it conditional upon them coming to believe the things that we believe, even though that may be what we earnestly desire for them and believe would make their life better. But as the story progresses of this man born blind, we learn that at the end of the story, he comes back. He has told his story to various people, but he eventually is found by Jesus. And of course, he hasn't seen him before because Jesus sent him away when he was still blind. But he finds Jesus and sees him for the first time. And Jesus reveals who he is. And the man who was previously blind recognizes Jesus for the Savior that he is, as he says to him, Lord, I believe. And at this point, although it perhaps doesn't explicitly say it, this point, the man now knows that he is forgiven. So, the first C is conviction of sin. And I do believe that we all need that. We all need to be convicted that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But Jesus is the Savior whom we seek. And we've heard stories of that from Ros and from Lynn and how they have found the one who has made a difference to their lives. Second thing I want to encourage us to have is confidence. confidence in the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16 has the Apostle Paul saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone." It doesn't quite stop there. Everyone who believes. So, not just salvation to everyone because, you know, God's a nice God and a loving God, but salvation that needs to be received, that needs to be believed. And elsewhere, Paul talks about how the power of that salvation has come even to him, the worst of sinners. That means that with confidence, I can say that that salvation can include you and can include me. And I would want to say that no one is too good not to need salvation. But no one is too bad to be beyond it. And I think we find that as we read on in the story, we find that the blind man is called before the Pharisees, who are effectively asking him, what he's doing, receiving healing on the Sabbath, how terrible is that? But also trying to get him to say that the man who healed him is himself a sinner, whilst all the time they seem to be avoiding, sidestepping their own guilt, these Pharisees. But no one is too good to need salvation. No one is too bad to be beyond it. But when we know that we have it, we can have confidence in that for us. And as John chapter 3 verse 16, a verse that most of us here probably will know, tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. So I want to encourage you that if you have believed in Jesus, that you have that gift, that hope, that promise of eternity. And you can have confidence in the gospel. The third C is courage. Perhaps this is what we need most of all, isn't it? Bearing in mind what I've said, you know, this is perhaps the most difficult thing to do, is to speak about our faith. The man who was formerly blind tells his story, hauled before the religious zealots, the Pharisees. He demonstrates immense courage, I think, in the face of their challenge. They try to get him to say that Jesus is a sinner. He resists that, and he says to them, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And I think inherent in what he is saying, he could do nothing, never mind heal a man like me, born blind. This man tells his story. From the word go, really, doesn't he? He is telling his story to these Pharisees. They don't like it very much, but it is a good story, and they can't resist. They can't avoid the evidence of their eyes. They even summon the man's parents to appear before them and say, "Is this your son?" And yeah, he is our son. Is he really your son? Is he the man who was blind that we used to see frequently, perhaps daily? Yes, he is that man, they say. When we were on our church weekend, we explored particularly through that weekend the story of Zacchaeus. But I asked the same question of this man born blind as I asked of Zacchaeus at the time. If the man healed from blindness were around today, what would become of him? Because he starts by sharing his story with those around him despite their disbelief. He says, "I was blind, but now I see." Perhaps in our age, he would be, I hope in our age, he would be warmly welcomed into a church. But it would go beyond that, wouldn't it? Perhaps he would start to develop a speaking ministry around other churches, because people like to hear a good story. We love to hear the dramatic. Perhaps a book would follow. And I love reading those sorts of books, don't you? I love reading books of testimony about how God has moved dramatically, possibly even a film. Well, happens sometimes, doesn't it? Because it is a dramatic story. Now, my story is not like that. I mean, my story, I don't think, is anything unusual. It would probably be the kind of story, in one way or another, would be shared by any of you. I mean, I think that Roz and Lynn, what you have shared with us, very powerful. It speaks to us in different ways. And your stories will speak to people in ways that my story wouldn't, and vice versa. Because we all have different stories to tell, don't we? And we need to tell our different stories. Not preacherly, but naturally, preferably. Because our story may be the story that this person or that person needs to hear. Something that can point them to the Saviour, Jesus Christ. How can we be prepared to tell our story? And I don't mind the fact that both of you wrote down what you wanted to share. I wouldn't have minded if you wanted to sort of say it and just, you know, verbatim, just kind of say what you felt in the moment. It works either way for me, but it is good to think about these things. A few verses of scripture here. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. Where Peter says to his readers, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and then goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And I do think it is good to prepare. It is good to think about what we will say when someone asks us to give the reason for the hope that is within us. So, I don't know about you. I'm not one of those sort of, I don't think I am. You might want to differ, but I'm not one of those pushy Christians that wants to kind of force my story of faith down people's throats, except on Sundays, of course. Whether they want to hear it or not. But if, as is my wont, I am out on the golf course playing with someone that maybe I haven't met before, and because, you know, we spend a lot of time on the golf course looking for golf balls between shots, there's time to talk, and you naturally talk about who you are and what you do, don't you? So if the opportunity arises, then I'm glad to talk about what I do. And yes, I accept that the fact I'm a vicar of the Baptist variety kind of gives me license to speak sometimes in ways that you might not be able to, but also it sometimes makes it more difficult. So be prepared. And if you think, how on earth am I going to know what to say? Well, hear these verses from John 14:25-26, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and we're going to be looking at some of this in the weeks to come between now and Easter, some of the last words, really, that Jesus passes on. He says to them there, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And there is much in that. We can take confidence, really, and courage in the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. If we are in Christ, or we are followers of Jesus Christ, each one of us has the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will give us things to say, I believe, if we allow him to. But also, importantly, I think, and you talked about not having read the Bible, I think, didn't you? But you were still searching for God nonetheless. But we do need to read and learn from the Bible so that the Spirit can remind us what it says. So I put that out there, really, just as a reminder that it is important. And then some verses from Luke 12, 11 and 12. This was the particular context of Jesus' time, but it could be our time. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, or authorities, says Jesus, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And I think when we are at the end of ourselves, then we will find God, we will find the Holy Spirit ready to help us to know what to say. So that is courage to speak. And then the fourth C is compassion for the lost. I suspect we know the story of the lost son in Luke 15. The lost son who returns home after completely messing up his life and squandering his money. And it says in that story, that parable that Jesus told, that whilst he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And of course, this is a picture of our Heavenly Father looking out for his lost sons and daughters, people like us. Compassion. Our Heavenly Father has compassion for all those who are lost. In Matthew 9, verse 36, as Jesus goes about teaching the good news and healing every disease and illness, it says there, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Who are those workers, I wonder? Who is Jesus intending to be those workers today? Who did Matthew have in mind as he wrote down these words? Well, I think all who would come after him, all who would be disciples, followers of Jesus, people like me and you, are called to be workers in the harvest, to share our stories. So let me remind you where we have come from through this series of sermons in our acronym of BLESS. Begin with prayer. Listen to bless, eat to bless, serve to bless, fifthly, stories to bless. And perhaps this acronym, I love a good acronym, you know, it helps me remember. Perhaps this is something that can help you remember. Something that you can maybe turn to. Here's a challenge at the start of each day. And just remind yourself of it. And as you think about these five things, think about the opportunities and pray for opportunities to bless others in the day to come. I mean, beginning with prayer is an easy place, fairly easy place to start. It's a good place to start. Pray that God will give you that opportunity to listen in the home, in the workplace, in wherever you happen to be during that day. Maybe if you're in a workplace, you might be able to go in one day just with a generous gift of pastries that you bought on the way there, or a cake that you take in, or something like that, just as a means of blessing or saying thank you to others. Maybe that can break down barriers and open the door for you to serve in other ways. Maybe it will bring the opportunity to just share a little bit of your story. Yes, I know you're there to work, but, you know, I used to have a proper job once and would sit across the desk chatting to people, and I did, in some ways, it was the best opportunity I've ever had to share my story of faith before I became a Baptist minister. So maybe this is something for you. John Newton the former slave trader turned believer and preacher for Jesus, voices something of what the blind man who was healed says in his story. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Most of us here are not blind or partially sighted physically, but spiritually, we've been there. Maybe you even are. And if that is you, feeling that you need to have your eyes opened to see how much God loves you, then today can be that day. Ask Jesus to come and heal the hurts of the past. We've heard stories of anxiety, of loneliness, of perhaps something of the struggle of being adopted, albeit to good parents, Ros, and your anxieties, your fear of death and illness, Lynn. We've heard examples of that, haven't we? But there are many other fears and anxieties that we may have. But I think that God would want to open our eyes so that we can see who he is. God who loves us more than we can ever know. The one who sent Jesus to die for us because he loved us, loves us so much. Sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And that is how God blesses us. So I want to say to you and finish here, who are you going to bless? How are you going to share your story? You are blessed to be a blessing. So be blessed and be that blessing.